Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Stanza 2 of the Christmas hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. You heard the mention there of Mary Chosen, Virgin Mild. We're going to be talking about the Virgin Mary, especially the Virgin Mary in a postmodern world. Molly Ziegler Hemingway will join us here on this Friday afternoon, December the 18th. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. live this Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Jerry Jernander will join us. We'll talk about Christmas services for the kids and the ancient, they're little kids. They're very young. Some of them are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. The hymns they are singing are hundreds and hundreds, if not more than 1,000 years old, if we're doing it right. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Dr. Joel Heck will join us to remember Adam and Eve. They are remembered by the church tomorrow, December 19th. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be with us in hour two of Issues, Etc., our regular feature with him this week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about Mark Driscoll's rather rapid return to ministry. He started a new church that's supposed to be, what is it? It's a Christian church with no members. And I'm not sure what that means. And then some New Year's prophecies being made in evangelicalism. Then, since it's Friday, we'll play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. 4 soundbites to play for you, and your vote decides which will be Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week, and your opportunity to win the LPL bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues, Etc., travel mug, pin, bumper sticker, and notepad. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, your questions and your comments are welcome, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Our Facebook fan page for your votes for Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Molly Ziegler Hemingway is a regular guest. She joins us to talk about the Virgin Mary in a postmodern world. She's senior editor of The Federalist and author of a recent column for First Things titled Mary, Mother of All. Molly, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
Our minds obviously go at the time of Christmas to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And someone says, look, it's a great story, this little guy being born against hard circumstances and against all the odds. But this whole notion about Mary being a virgin when Jesus is conceived and born, that's not really an essential Christian teaching or essential to the celebration of Christmas. How do you respond?
Well, it is interesting that people are willing to accept that God took on flesh to save the world, but not that that he came through a virgin. I mean, of all the things you're going to have trouble with, it seems weird to pick that out. But of course, this is a central teaching to our faith. The Christmas story is absolutely central, and many things about it, that God would be joined with human flesh, that he would be born of a virgin, and that Mary would have such a profound serenity about the whole thing.
So you wrote recently about an article that appeared back in 2003 from Nicholas Kristof, who was kind of annoyed that so many Americans still believed in the virgin birth. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was in 2003, and a poll came out showing that even more people believed in the virgin birth than had the previous time the question was asked. And he was appalled because he thought that this meant that we were losing the intellectual nature of Christianity. And he said that he wished people could be more like his grandfather, who was a Presbyterian who rejected the notion of the virgin birth, and said that he thought the way we were practicing religion showed that we were losing our intellectual tradition, which I thought was funny because he couldn't point to a time in either Catholic or Protestant thought when the church had rejected the notion of the virgin birth.
So how does she fit into kind of that attitude that Christoph reflects. What do they do with her, especially, and with her son? She's the virgin mother, he's the son, when they consider it superstitious, or it sounds like in the case of Christoph, almost like something somebody just came up with in Christianity. What do they do with Mary?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. It is interesting to me that they struggle with her so much, because she has one of the most interesting aspects of the story is how alone among all people on earth, she was chosen to deliver the Savior, and she handled it with such, she did express momentary confusion about how this could be, and then she accepted it perfectly. And I think resistance to that is a very natural reflection of how reason can overtake things. But the deepest mystery of how Christmas happened isn't how it happened so much as why. And that is something that a lot of people have not even begun to contemplate when they are focusing on the how of it all.
You actually take us back to Bernard of Clairvaux and what he observed so long ago about the three miracles of the Nativity story. Tell us about that.
Right. The three miracles being that, first of all, that God would take on human flesh, and that God would be joined with human flesh. The second, that he would be born of a virgin. And the third being that Mary would have such a profound faith that she would accept this.
So where does it fall in the Christian teaching? You say that, while a majority of Americans still believe it happened, and that it is essential Christian teaching, there are some Christians, Protestants in particular, who are just kind of ambivalent about Mary. They like the virgin part, and they'll acknowledge that, but they don't want to go much farther. Why not?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, actually. I don't know if I can speak to it, but it's a very troubling thing because of how central she is in the scriptures and how Jesus himself points to her as the model of all faith. And I remember my pastor talking about that portion in scripture where it sounds like Jesus is kind of chastising Mary when the crowd says, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." And he kind of snaps back at that and says, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And people think, well, is he disparaging his mother? I think he's saying even more so. It's not just that she carried me, but that she, her attitude when told what was going to happen, she kept the word of God, heard the word of God and kept it. And I think that's one of the most beautiful and central things of what Jesus taught us about how to live our faith.
Of course, there is Roman Catholic Marian devotion that does push far beyond simply that. What would you say about it?
And that's what I find so frustrating, is a lot of people react against Mary because they have seen how sometimes there are church bodies that overdo it and claim she is co-redemptrix, worship her, pray to her, and whatnot. And it's important that when you are reacting against the falsehood of that, that you don't go overboard and forget what a blessed woman this is and how Jesus himself talked about how blessed she is. She's not above God. She's not equal to God. But she is the model for all Christians.
You say mother of us all. What do you mean by that?
It's interesting. It's something that Martin Luther said, and he, of course, was pastor of St. Mary's Church in Wittenberg. He gave this Christmas sermon back in 1529, and what he said was, "Mary is the mother of Jesus and the mother of all of us, even though it was Christ alone who reposed on her knees. If he is ours, we ought to be in his situation there where he is. We ought also to be, and all that he has ought to be ours. And his mother is also our mother." And it's a beautiful message from a very beautiful sermon.
So let's put it in the context of kind of the general view of motherhood in postmodern 21st century America. Motherhood is, we're kind of schizophrenic about it, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think that, it's important that Christians have a proper understanding of both fatherhood and motherhood when discussing these things, but mothers nurturing us and feeding us and caring for us is something that many of us are blessed to have and that we should model.
The picture that motherhood in postmodern America is often, especially when it comes to issues that I know that are near and dear to your heart, like the protection of the unborn. We're really making a case not only for the unborn, but for kind of as a major side theme there, the virtues, the good, not just Christian virtues, but the civil virtues of motherhood. Talk about that, Molly.
Yeah, and it is interesting. I think about how in recent weeks we've had people talking about the Joseph and Mary story in an attempt to relate it to political situations like the Syrian refugee crisis. And there are significant problems with attempting to make that tie. But it is so interesting to think about what happened when Mary, I mean, talk about what could be construed as a crisis pregnancy. She is not married. She is, just the shame involved of all this. She was, had begun the first step of marriage by being engaged to Joseph. When an angel tells her that she has this child, to not fight it and just embrace it and to show such love to our Lord and Savior is just a beautiful, it's a beautiful thing that many people can find strength and comfort in, not just in terms of Mary's role in this story, but also Joseph's in helping out his betrothed. And it would be nice if all these people who see these allegories to other political crises would look and see the beauty of motherhood, how strong and powerful it is. And also, if we could think about caring for people who are in need. One of the things Luther talked about with Mary and Joseph being in Bethlehem, he says, we think, well, why couldn't they get a better place to stay than the manger of the stable of a family member's house? And yet, what are we doing when we see people in need? Are we any better at this? Hardly.
She emerges as not just the mother of our Savior, and as you say, in that some sense, mother of us all, but she is also depicted as, because she is the model of faith at that moment when the angel visits her with the news of the impending birth of Jesus, she is also very strongly associated with kind of being the mother of Christians too. Mother in the sense, I'm not talking about Roman Catholic devotion, but mother in the sense that she is the means by which we are given, through her son, birth into God's family.
Absolutely. And you think about Jesus on the cross giving Mary back to all mankind when he tells John, and he's telling all of us when he tells John this, behold your mother. So again, she's not God and she's not above God, but this is a woman that we can all hold as mother.
And what about mothers in particular? You start your article for First Things talking about kind of your, maybe a bit of an admission, your desire from time to time to win the world's best mom trophy from your kids.
Yes, this is kind of an embarrassing admission, but because you should, my children give me plenty of love, so I should not go fishing for more. But sometimes I try and get them to say they love me more than their father. It's become a game. And they always insist that they love us equally, even if I game the question by saying, your dad's been working a lot and I'm here for you. Who do you love more? Oh, they still love both mom and dad. But when I say, who's the best mother in the whole world? And this, to me, I thought there was just one right answer for this. They always insist that it's Mary. And it's impossible to get upset with your children for saying that Mary is the best mother in the whole world. But yes, my children are being educated well, at least.
Is that something we should carry through into, because that's a, someone might say, well, that's quaint and that's childlike, but is that something we should carry through all our lives, Molly?
Oh, absolutely. And it's such a wonderful message, too, when you think about all the people in the world who do not have good mothers, who have struggled or who have struggled themselves at being less than stellar mothers. We all of us who are mothers know that we have epic failures that we continued to have every year. To have this person in Mary who we can look to, whose faith is so strong and who endured so much and did it with such grace, that is a great thing for all of us, whether we are mothers or just simply have mothers. That is a beautiful gift for all of us.
I want your final thoughts on this, Molly, because one of the other things that Bernard of Clairvaux does not mention, and that is that she's given a unique position here to, as you kind of hinted at, In her son's sacrificial death on the cross, she has to give him up. It's stated to her when he's still a child, a sword will pierce your own soul too. she's given a unique role to suffer in that that God chose her to do. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is just an amazing role, and also speaks again to how unique it is that Mary was chosen to all space and time for this role. I don't think anyone can really imagine the suffering that would involve in all of the, you know, just how dramatic and difficult this story is. But once again, she's a great model for us in how she accepts what is given to her and carries through without fail, even to the point that her son is being tortured and crucified.
Molly Ziegler Hemingway is senior editor of The Federalist. She's author of a recent column for First Things titled Mary, Mother of All. You'll find a link to The Federalist and to this First Things article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December, is, not surprisingly, a Christmas book. It's for children ages 5 through 9. It's one of the Arch books from Concordia Publishing House, their newest Christmas Arch book, O Bethlehem. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, on every single page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for O Bethlehem as a gift for your child, grandchild, godchild, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, O Bethlehem. We'll be right back. We'll be talking about children's Christmas services, young children singing very, very old songs. Pastor Jerome Jernander will be our guest. Thank you for donating more than $80,000 to Issues Etc. in the past 3 weeks. With 2 weeks left in 2015, we're $16,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I'm Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical and worship, and confessional in teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org. Download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 20th and 27th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season. Issuesetc.org. Click support.